Good morning, good morning. We are dancing in with Soul Mikasa, Mano Dibango. This is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, right here in the place to be, CJSF Radio 90.1, with your Friday Speak Up Show. Have we got a treat in store for you. Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, here at the place to be, CJSF Radio 90.1 in Burnaby, streaming worldwide at cjsf.ca. Today, I want to let you know we're doing a few things differently. It's going to be kind of a lesson in understanding how we are available to the community, what a college campus radio station is, and how we connect with other community organizations to give people an opportunity to be in this industry. I'm going to go next to our land acknowledgement by our own public affairs director, Jesse.
Yeah, this show is being produced and broadcast on the unceded territory of the Halkomelem and Squamish speaking peoples. And we are very grateful and aware of the work and the existence and the ongoing struggle of Indigenous peoples in this place. And CJSF is committed to reconciliation, and one of the ways we do that is through our core mandate of providing a platform for underrepresented voices, including Indigenous and BIPOC folks. And that means, we have programs like Hearing the Voices of the Land on airing on Tuesdays during Speak Up, which is a nationally produced show that tells the stories of Indigenous peoples in their own languages. As well, we also like to platform and provide a place for the stories and voices of BIPOC and Indigenous folks, and also a focus and a strong representation of Indigenous artists and Black and other BIPOC artists when it comes to the music we play and what we present to you, the listener.
So today, we're going to have two things for you. There's an old movie, old people like me, today is my 78th birthday, but there was a movie called How a Bill Becomes Law, and it was the steps along the track. Well, we are going to give an example of how independent artists are able to move through a nurturing system to get their work heard or their voices heard on the radio station. We have two guests. One is Neil Ryan, who you've heard before. Neil took us seriously. He came into contact with CJSF when we were working on a podcast show for older people. And he heard so many people talking about write a book, you can write a book, but he didn't have a book ready yet. He had a lot of poems. And he took advantage of an opportunity that the station has of helping volunteers learn how to organize their materials. Also helping volunteers learn how to do an introduction. Remember, we had Neil on and he was talking about his book, but then when he gave us the presentation of what he was going to do, and we had a little class, extension of the training here, little class where people could come and have 10 minutes and they could read what they intended to say. They'd get feedback from Jesse, could read what they wanted to say at a faster tempo, got feedback from Robin, read it at a slower tempo, just to get comfortable, because we realized what's a barrier to many people on going on the radio is they don't like the sound of their voices or they are afraid they don't sound good. So having that as part of a training, it's one of the other things that the station has built in to its volunteer training program, is preparing people who want to be on the radio, preparing them to organize a show and to apply for a show. So during this morning, you're going to hear Neil, this is the week he's celebrating, getting a second book published by an author. His first book, From the Other Side, he scraped together, published the book himself, traveled across the United States in a car in the winter at 65 miles an hour, which you'll hear about, and the company that he had paid to print his book in the previous year offered to publish it. So we're going to hear a bit of that story from Neil. And then the other thing we're going to do is we have a guest this morning, Mary Seuss. She's a local musician, a lyric soprano with a focus on operatic music and classical sounds. She's collaborated with Treasure Box Puppet Theater to perform The Albatross, written by Elise Robert and composed by Dale Thronis, a UBC Faculty of Music person. She's performed across the Lower Mainland, and she received the Downtown Eastside Small Arts Grant in 2024. And so one of the connections, there are a few people who were presented a Downtown Eastside grant. A few of them have been interviewed in my show, in this Luau Speak Up, Listen Up, Act Upon show, and have been able to get a vision of the opportunity. On the other hand, there are a lot of people that are kind of confused, and they have called about being on the show and don't understand the connection between having gotten the small arts grant and needing to get out there performing for community groups or performing on the radio. So we're going to be hearing from Mary Seuss about what she is doing and how it felt to get one of those Downtown Eastside Grant Awards and the challenge you have now of promoting yourself and getting yourself booked.
Well, hey, Charlotte said almost everything. I am a recipient of the Downtown Eastside Small Grants 2024. And the first thing I noticed was the emphasis upon attaining a professional career. We had someone write bios. Someone else took a headshot of me wearing an albatross costume. A career advice session. And connected with other organizations. For example, I'm in music. I am on the list for a free day of recording at a studio. Isn't this just amazing? Anyways, Some of the focus is on fine arts, meaning visual and multimedia things. And there were workshops about those. There was a setup towards lots and lots of resources. Just, you know, apply to join. And things were just wonderful. There, as I said, the emphasis was on becoming a professional, which I said kind of, but yeah, I kind of like the idea a lot.
Now, what you have experienced, and I've had four or five other people experience, is that the idea, feeling a pressure, like I've got to get booked, I've got to get my material, and not really having an understanding of how do you get your material on the radio. And so as part of our mission statement and as part of our land acknowledgement, we say that we help people to get their work on, either as a producer, singer, storyteller. And some people find that quite frightening or daunting. Or some people don't have a printer. Some people don't have a printer, so we have to use things. So there's some connections that we're making here with helping people understand they don't have to come on with something like a Stevie Wonder band to be able to be interviewed on the show or to play their music or sing a song. It does help if you have gotten your bio printed out, and it does help if you have practice the songs. But the other thing that really helps is if you get an appointment with someone to interview you, and the morning you're supposed to come, you have cold feet, and you call and say, the dog ate your cat. And believe it or not, I've had four experiences like that. And so I think that, Jesse, you have seen and probably experienced people who want to get on or think that they have everything that they need. What is kind of one process when people have already recorded something and they want to get it considered for playing on the show, on the station?
Well, there's a few different ways. The station accepts submissions of music to the music library through Connor, our music director. Everything sort of goes through him, and he and his team of reviewers and processors will go through everything and write a little bit about each thing we receive and what genre it is or what style it is or what moods it might evoke, so that our programmers can then look at that and have an idea of what they might be choosing to listen to. And you can also, if there's a show in particular that you like, if you're listening and you think, oh, you know, my music would fit well on Speak Up, Listen Up, Act Upon, or my music would fit well on Home of Burnaby Rock, or whatever it might be, you can get in touch with the hosts of those shows directly. A lot of time you can just go to cjsf.ca and find their information there. It is, at CJSF, a very sort of grassroots approach where we are taking in a lot of music from a lot of different people, and we take submissions and prioritize local and, as I said earlier, sort of underrepresented artists. And we also allow our hosts to source and pick their own music. So if there's a show that you think your music should be on, the best thing to do is just reach out and let the host of that show know.
Now, Mary has something that she does that fits one of our requirements. We don't play top 40 music. And Mary loves to sing cover songs. Can you describe or tell us a little bit about the cover songs that you do? She has a show around cover songs.
I actually love to sing classical music. In things that I do sing, there is one, not contemporary, but poem put to music, that's Dale and Elise that were mentioned. It's kind of modern. And then another one is another melody, which is, you know, is definitely not rock and roll or pop. And then there's mine, which is just considered modern. I compose a little song one day. But Dale and I are committed to the classical repertoire, meaning songs from way back when. I believe these songs are relevant, bright, and have bones.
Yeah, well, and I mean, they have sort of stood the test of time in that as well, right? So, you know, if they're part of that repertoire, that they have been part of that repertoire for, in some cases, you know, hundreds of years, right?
Yep.
Tell us about the Albatross.
Okay, the Albatross, there is someone named Elise Roberts who runs the Treasure Box Puppet Theater. She has been known to have a picture of her holding a papier-mâché sturgeon. Her songs are environmental in... her shows are environmental in nature. Farmer Brown's Orchard, I think, is one. And she had a show in which she featured an albatross. It has a large papier-mâché head and staring eyes. And then further down is a white costume with kind of wings a bit. So that is the remarkable costume. I have had fantastic responses to the albatross when I've sung it. People seem to relate to it on an environmental level, an emotional environmental level even. So it is in English, and she feeds her young so far away on warm Hawaii sand. With mouths agape, there's no escape, the tragedy of man. That is what the albatross is about. Elise is very happy that we found Dale and that I'm bringing out this message, as she's a clearly an environmentalist. So that basically, you know, gives us the albatross. It's in English. It has a definite rhythm. The beat is good.
So what Mary has been able to do is, well, let's put a pin a minute. You have to, everyone that has been a performer has a certain amount of time to get themselves booked. And so a lot of people have a lot of drama of how I get booked, or somebody is going to charge me to get me booked, or I have to, a lot of people have called with that drama, or even gotten upset. But in the downtown Eastside area, there are other organizations who have mandates for other things they have to do. For example, the parks people are looking for people who come in and do something that increases people's awareness of nature. I am doing some work with a group that is looking for entertainers who want to do this. They don't have a $1,000 contract, but they might have something for $50, or they might have something for $25. Or I understand that you don't have to, if you get booked to do something with a community organization or church or group, it's not required that you are being paid. It's just that you get yourself booked.
I never thought of it as booking before. Mm-hmm. But yes, we'll work for music.
Okay, so aside from the panic or the borrowing that some people are doing to try and have a costume or try and get accepted because of their costume, what you have done is make a connection around somebody interested in the environment. There are a lot of groups within the parks itself is looking for environmental people. So instead of just traditionally seeing this Hollywood mode of, I got discovered at the counter, or who was this, somebody's song, I won't say. Anyhow, but looking in the paper, I found a lot of things in awesome Vancouver. They are right here in this building where we are. There is Megaphone, the street paper. And Megaphone has reporters out who are looking for and reporting on things that happen in the community. There's a garden. Someone has a garden and people come by to tour the garden, linking up and finding what other community organizations are doing, where you might do one of your required presentations. And I've learned, you are going to be, tell us about that. She has this costume, but are you using the costume soon?
Anytime I step on stage, I understand Charlotte knows a few things about stages around here. That would be nice. Yes, there's another costume, courtesy of Elise and her Treasure Box Puppet Theater. This one is called the Ocean Cape. It has a crown of kind of things that are shaped like waves or seaweed. And then underneath is a glorious cape in blue and black and gold. So I'm very pleased with that. And I put it on, and it inspired me to put together a group of songs called The Water Set. I have performed it once, and I thoroughly thought it was a good occasion. I quite enjoyed it.
Right, and the environmental groups, school groups, I think as you brainstorm what it is you do, that the idea that has to come out of some people's head is that I have to have a fancy, expensive costume, or I need to have a chauffeur bring me up. But there are, right here within the community, organizations, the senior centers. A lot of senior centers like to have music. They don't have a big budget, but they maybe every Thursday enjoy having somebody come in and sing or play music for them. The radio station, on our station, we do promos. Sometimes I do promos for the other shows, but in listening, if I'm listening, oh, there's a lot of things happening. And so as you are an emerging artist and you're looking for ways to get booked and knowing that you have the possibility of booking yourself, bringing entertainment to someone, like a free audition, that group has a chance to see what you do. And it counts, like on your little checklist, you have to have 9 performances, it counts as one of the 9. When you were preparing for the presentation here, I noticed that you had a green room, one of the things that is important for stars or preachers. What did you have rehearsals? What was the preparation for the people that were going to be presented?
On the performance showcase for the DTES small arts grants, there was a dress rehearsal. They call it a technical rehearsal. Mm-hmm. And then for the August 17th, The Vines, which, by the way, came directly from the DTS small grants, which is why I find everything so amazing, we performed. And that had just, for me, I was the last tech rehearsal before the actual show. So it was about 15 minutes.
Yeah. Another thing is collaboration. People who get awards, staying in touch with each other, and so that you might hear about an opportunity for something with roller skating. You don't roller skate, but there's somebody else that is a roller skater, a performance roller skater. So is that something that you do with other people who were presenters? Performers?
I didn't get to know anyone from the DTES small grants. I did know that the showcase taught us a lot about what other people are doing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe they do network.
Well, that's one that we'll put into the idea box, because some of the calls that I've gotten indicate to me that people have a very complicated idea and miss the deadlines, or they panic about the deadlines because they're trying to be like Primetime or trying to be like YouTube or trying to be like something that an artist that's got a big budget. But there are doors that are opening at, as I say, the schools, senior centers, Reading Awesome Vancouver, and listening to CJSF, because there's an environmental show. There are a number of shows, and the host for every show, we do get press releases from people that have got big budgets to send press releases for us to interview people. But, Jesse, how many times do I ask you, is there anything in the mail? Do we have anyone asking? One of the other things that we've mentioned is spoken word, and I've had the opportunity to give some poets a chance to come on and do their poetry without having to wait till 10 other people have given theirs. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to share a couple of poems and let you know, listeners, people who have heard, we've done this thing called pop-up poetry, where people come on, they do a poem, and we get riff, respectful, informative, interesting feedback. And so we've had people who have called other friends and they've gotten on. So I'm going to, from as an indigenous person of color, do a poem that's called Crisp Collard. Give me the tenacity of a crisp collard. Let my ebony richness magnify its verdant green. As I reach out my hand, give me tough veins, able to circulate life-giving nourishment to the generations yet as seedlings. With each year, let me lay down new roots, roots ready to supplement the paltry fare of loveless harshness this society sometimes secretes. For meals and mentions to be satisfied, enable my leaves to secure safe harbor for the many remanded to sleep on the streets. Make me an agent of harvesting the best from our past. Give me the courage to motivate all to shoulder their part in laying a new garden of hope and happiness. But if our caviar and candlelight cousins, siblings and neighbors, refuse to set an extra plate while tossing garbage daily, let me regularly be ready to serve savory collards and cornbread, and never forget to till and plant for the next harvest.
Very
That's
nice.
By me, Sister C. Well, as I promised, we're going to have let you hear Neil Ryan talk about his amazing experience. He was somebody who first shared his work on the radio. He's taken part in a lot of open mics across Vancouver, but his book is his trip to sell his book. He was a person that if the publishing people weren't going to get behind his book, he got a 20-foot motorhome, drove it through from down through Seattle all the way down to Sedona, driving it at 65 miles an hour when we've heard the California freeway rolls at 85. But he believed enough in himself to do that, sold a case of books, and then got back to hear that the publishing company that turned him down for publishing his book the previous year is publishing his new book in October. So we're going to hear from Neil Ryan.
And thanks for joining us, Mary.
You're welcome.
And Mary, can you tell people how to get in touch with you? Email or
email is very good. SEUSMARY@gmail.com. Well, if you want to know places I go. I'm busy preparing right now for something, but there are karaoke's where they let me sing. I am so grateful, and my style. So isn't that nice? And then open mics are always good. I have a new one coming up. Okay, thank you. Oh, and my gratitude to the Downtown East Side Grants. The staff was super. She once managed to juggle an appointment twice in one day. So that was amazing. And, you know, just her positivity.
We're going to be doing something at the Roundhouse in October, but the date is still being finalized. But we will let you know when that is happening. Now, next Thursday, the 19th, it's Sparking Change is a program that we're doing with the parks. And so at 1 p.m. at Century House in New West, you will hear Mary as a guest at our program. We're going to be doing a workshop on sharing your heart, more love, more peace and love.